Floating his sphere of force light behind him, Jason threaded his way down to what had been the underside of the bridge, where the metal was buckled and discolored from a conflagration below. Jason began to fear the worst. Seeing no convenient hatch in the vicinity, he ignited his lightsaber, then plunged it into the floor of the bridge. Jason finished cutting, then used the force to lift two discs of metal out of the hole he had cut in the double floor deck. Being careful to avoid touching the white-hot edges, Jason dropped through the hole and found several shattered Trancarest vials under one of the half-burned mattresses. Under another, he found a melted lump of casing and circuitry that might once have been Lobaka's translation droid, MTD. He tried to pick it up and discovered it had been fused to the floor. Under a third mattress, he found the singed remains of one of the Molotech's jumpsuits the strike team had worn on their mission to Merkur. There were four slashes across the chest, where Raynar had been wounded before being put aboard the flyer. Jason made his way forward through the galley and wardroom, dropping into a crouch as the space between the crumpled ceiling and the old floor grew too short for him to walk upright. The walls and other surfaces in these rooms were covered with a thick layer of pink powder, the residue of a firefighting foam. On the bridge, the foam lay so thick that he kicked up clouds of pink dust as he moved. The canopy that had once enclosed the flight deck on three sides was buckled and broken, with dirt spilling through long rents in the transparasteel. It was no wonder the ship had crashed. The dark Jedi crew had done well to escape the Merkur system at all. Jason dropped to his knees to peer through the cockeyed hatchway, and his nostrils filled with the caustic stench of charred bone. He began a slow breathing exercise. The harsh smell burned his nostrils at first and threatened to make him nauseous. But as Jason centered himself in the Force and slowly detached from his emotions, the odor grew less biting, its implications less painful. He placed a hand on the wall and imagined it growing warm under his touch. The staleness seemed to fade from the air inside the wreck. Then the smell of old soot turned to the acrid bite of smoke. Jason's eyes started to water as he looked back through the Force. His lungs were racked by an endless fit of coughing, and the cabin grew hot and orange. Where he was touching the wall, his palm began to sting and blister. He held it in place and looked over his shoulder. The flight deck was hidden behind a curtain of smoke and rolling flame. Geysers of fire retardant rose from the ceiling nozzles, creating swirling ghosts of pink fog. Howls of human anguish drowned out the scream of buckling metal. A single figure crawled out of the smoke, hairless and coughing and blistered raw. His face was unrecognizable, but four gashes ran diagonally across his chest, the wound hanging half open where the flesh glue had dissolved in the heat. One hand trailed behind, dragging a pair of levitated shapes along by their cloak collars. The two shapes were still burning, writhing in the air and flailing against each other in their pain. Smoke began to rise from beneath Jason's palm, and the smell of cooking flesh filled the air. He kept his hand pressed against the wall. The crawling figure reached the hatchway and paused, turning in Jason's direction. The face was too scorched and swollen to recognize, but the eyes belonged to Raynar, questioning and proud and so terribly naive. The two of them locked gazes for a moment. Then Raynar cocked his head in confusion and started to open his mouth. Jason pulled his hand from the wall. The figures vanished instantly, returning him to a flight deck filled with the stale smell of ash and clouds of pink dust.